we want to tell you about a great podcast called Homophilia, hosted by Dave Holmes and Matt McConkie.
Every week, Dave and Matt grill LGBTQIA celebrities to find out what and who they are loving.
You'll get all the dish on how your favorite celebrities are surviving this pandemic, what they're watching, reading, listening to, and the latest industry gossip.
But after they go shallow, Matt and Dave go deep and ask their questions about who they're loving, with stories ranging from hilarious and heartwarming to deeply heartbreaking and everything in between.
With all-star guests like Lena Waithe, Andrew Scott, Matt Bomer, Shangela, Carson Kressley, and Jim Rash.
New episodes of Homophilia come out every Friday. Listen and subscribe on Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, or your favorite podcast app.
Well, hello, and welcome to Watch What Crappens, the podcast for all that crap we just love to talk about on Yo Profs, okay? I'm Ronnie Karam, and that's Ben over there. Hi, Ben.
Hi, what's up?
Guys, we are less than a week away from our big live show here on the internet. You can catch it, get tickets. It's going to be on location live /Watch What Crappens, okay? You can also find ticket links over at watchwhatcrappens.com. If you want to do that. And we're doing this recap of Southern Charm right now here on the internet as well, on Crappens On Demand on Patreon. And, oh, our live show is going to be covering Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, the first episode ebbs. Yeah. So it's going to be super fun.
And we have a special guest.
And we have a
special guest.
We have Kai.
Really excited. It's not Ramona. Not Ramona, but we're going to talk about her like she is Ramona, okay? But she lives close by, okay?
So we're super excited to be here. Second episode of Southern Charm, okay? And big things are happening. Southern Charm, wow, I'm really confused about this casting choice of Pringle. Is it because Pringle is like rich and Whitney's super? Because you know, Whitney and Patricia love a rich person. Like they don't care anything else about.
literally,
that's all they care. It's like your house is big, and I've seen it, and I know that you have a famous chip name. So come on,
that's
our show.
All they care about. They're like, come on over. We're setting you up. We want to know everything about you. Wow, you seem so great. Like, all they know is that he lives in the big house and has a snack name. Like, that's literally it. And they're so excited by him.
Yeah, rich people are okay with that. They're like, are you rich? Me too. We have so much in common. Let's talk about some poor people, okay?
I'm still trying to figure out who John Pringle reminds me of. It's like, I can't tell if it's a famous person or someone in my life, but it's like right here. It's like right around my eyes.
He reminds me of an alcoholic that used to work at the improv theater I did improv at. And I think that that's why I'm like, alcoholic, like last week, that was my first impression. You know, I was like, drunk, he's a drunk. Which, you know, is fine. Normally, you'd just be in my contacts list. But, something about him, I was like, that poor dog.
There's some weird energy about him. He actually reminded me of, I feel like I met him like six different times at the Just for Laughs Comedy Festival. he has some energy about him that I feel like
he does have hipster comic vibe, for sure.
Yeah, like, he does have hipster comedian vibe that I may have met in Canada. Like, there's just something about him. I'm like,
it's like walking apathy, you know? Yeah. He's like a walking version of, you know, just vision of apathy. He needs to be in a flannel shirt, you know, smoking out of a pipe.
He needs to be holding a mic and walking back and forth on the stage, but looking at his toes while he tells his jokes. Like, so I went to the grocery shop the other day. That was fun. It's fun to go to the grocery shop when your last name is Pringle. Let me tell you something about that.
Yeah. So anyway, that guy. Craig does the welcome thing, like that previously on Southern Charm. That's pretty much it. That's all I have to say. It wasn't very eventful, except in the beginning when he's like, "Well, Austin and I sort of moved in together, and Catherine moved in with," and then we got the slow close up of the moose knuckle again coming down the stairs. Ugh.
They really went to all ends of the earth to emphasize that T-Rav was on last week. Like, did he really have to be on the previouslys? Did he really have to be there?
For a long time. And then at the end of the previouslys, they did like a nice long shot of Thomas's face. Like,
licking. He's like, oh, maybe we'll get married. So now we're back at Shep's Dumb and Dumber party, and Taylor, poor sweet Taylor, she really doesn't know what she's gotten herself into. She goes up to Madison and Austin, and she's like, yeah, maybe we'll do a double date. We should do a double date. We should definitely do a double date. And they're like, no, we hate Shep.
Yeah. You know what, Taylor? Taylor seems very nice. She seems very sweet. She's very cute. Fuck Taylor, okay? Taylor is Brittany Cartwright personified. And you saw how that turns out. When you get with somebody horrible and then you think, oh my God, but I can change them. No, you can't. And you're wasting your time and you're wasting the world's time. And you're giving him something to hide behind because now he acts like a good person because he's dating a nice person. So congratulations, Taylor. Yeah.
I don't know. Has she actually claimed that she can change Shep? I don't feel like she has necessarily said that.
Well, she hasn't but she's like, oh, do we talk bad about people? Are we supposed to be gossiping, Sheppy?
True. But okay, so here's why I'm down with Taylor, but not Brittany. Because Taylor is like, I'm going to hitch my wagon. I'm going to hitch my cart. Is it hitch your wagon to a horse or a horse? Well, she's hitching something. Wagon. She's hitching her wagon onto... Like that's like some old school money there. Okay. Brittany hitched her wagon onto like a tin foil ball or something like that. Like she was like, I'm gonna hitch my wagon onto that dump truck, right? Like Taylor hitched her wagon onto some legit, like, at least she's getting some family money out of that, you know?
Yeah, Taylor like, hitched a wagon and Brittany hitched herself to like an eight ball, you know?
Like it's like Taylor hitched herself to a luxury, you know, RV, like a bus that like a super famous person uses to tour the country. And Brittany hitched herself to like
a bike, like a bent up, like a bent a up bike. Stolen bike.
One of those things that you put the baby in and then you bike and the baby's back there and people are driving like, did someone put their baby in that little thing back there?
Yeah. I don't know. I'm just not into people who date evil people. I'm sorry, I'm like, I don't like it. You're just as bad. So she's with him, but so far, very nice, you know. She's like, oh my God, so double dates, guys. And Madison is talking to Austin. She comes up and she's like, what are y'all talking about? What are y'all talking about over here? And he's like, oh, double date. Yeah, we're going to go on a double date. She's like, it'll be fun. And Madison just kind of looks at her like, who the fuck are you?
I know.
So like, I like when Madison's dead eyes just focus on somebody. Like,
I know. I'll kill you. I still feel a little uneasy though. Like, I feel like she has a strange relationship with masculinity and femininity. Like, she seems to really get off by calling guys like pussies or like girly or whatever. Which sort of like that's like a little bit of a red flag to me. I'm gonna keep an eye on that. So. Just so everyone knows, guys, I'm keeping an eye on Madison's use of gendered insults. So, so then we see Catherine who's eyeing John, and she's like, I don't know, he's sort of like hot, like I sort of like that, and she's telling that to Gwyn's Madison and Danny, and she's like, sort of like blushing a little bit.
And Danny's like, well, we saw you going in on him. She's like, what are you talking about? I wasn't going in on him. And Gwyn is like, you were like, and then you touched your hair that one time. Like, since when does Madison talk? Have we just never heard her talk before? Or did she smoke like 9 cartons of cigarettes between last season and this season?
Once you go on Below Deck, you come back a monster. You come back a monster.
I wasn't expecting that. It's like, yeah, you were. You were like touching you. Like, what?
Touching you. Touching me. Sweet Catherine Calhoun. Bam, bam, bam. So anyway,
vibe. It was a real vibe. So then Patricia goes up to Leva and she's like, hi, Leva. I want to meet this handsome man you're with, who is handsome, and his name is Lamar, her husband.
I know, Lamar. Ooh. So, so Leva's there. Leva shows up with Lamar, and then Leva tells Craig that she's absolutely drained. She's like, she wants to pull Catherine aside and she wants to just like squash this whole thing with Cameron. And, so she pulls her aside for a chat and, she's bringing her down to some downstairs area. And she's like, in my cartoon mind, I'm jumping on top of you and strangling you because I know you're lying. And it's just like, don't fuck with people's families, okay?
Like, she's like, I'm going to start by saying I was very upset. She, like, has really wide eyes. Like, she's always boring. Like, she widens her eyes when she's mad. She's like, I'm going to start by saying I was very upset this afternoon because Craig told me what you told him, and I was literally ready to, like, eviscerate you.
Yeah. I was like, I saw what you said. I heard what you said, and I was like, seeing red. I'm like, that's because you're standing in front of Catherine. Like, yeah, she's literally all red.
It's red. Everything is literally red right now. And then it's like, and Catherine's just like looking away with her face.
She's like, who is this?
So Catherine's decided she's the Tin Man today from The Wizard of Oz. I love that Catherine's just like in love with bronzer. Like, she does not care. It's like full on tin now.
It really is. She's really into metallics. And the best part is that, like, Leva is going off on Catherine, and Catherine's just sitting there, and the entire time she has on, like, a little circus seal bow tie, like a little orange bow tie around her neck, because it's the Dumb and Dumber party. So she's like, And I just love that she showed up in all these sequins, but just has a little silly cartoon bow tie right the entire time.
And she just kind of throws her hands up like, whatever. And Leva's like, you made up some bullshit, and now you're going after my friend and people I, like, love? And it's like, bullshit. And it's like a mockery. And I'm a little emotional about this, Catherine. I'm a little emotional. And Catherine's just kind of looking at her like, listen, first season lead cast lady. I'm not going to scream and yell at you at this party. So have fun. Do what you need to do. But Leva's a good friend. Like,
Leva's hilarious. I mean, she's a good friend. And Catherine's just sitting there, and she's like, I know, because I had a family that I thought was beautiful too, and Kim had no problem doing things to me. So yes, this is full on like grudge match 5 years later. You know.
Well, just to clear up the air, Catherine, you had Thomas. Okay, and that's a little different. People aren't just coming out of nowhere. yeah. So, come on.
I mean, Thomas for sure gaslit her. That is for sure. But Catherine was also crazy during those times. I mean, I'm on the record. Like, I was, like, fully supporting Cameron in those early years. I fully was on the record being like, Catherine is a crazy person. And I think that she's gotten her shit together a lot over the years. And I have come to appreciate how much Thomas impacted our perceptions of Catherine. But, I think, yes, T-Rav was in the picture. It's a little different.
And it's also that T-Rav, you know, my problem with Cameron was always just the standing up for T-Rav and all the boys, no matter what. You know, it wasn't until fairly recently on this show that she was ever, not till Catherine really became popular with the viewers, then Cameron was like, oh, I'm so sorry, you are a mother, and now I can see that. But before she wasn't, it was like sticking up for Thomas and the shitty ones. But anyway, back to this. She's like, yeah, she had no problem fucking me over, basically. And then we see the clip again, the Cam's Greatest Hits clip of hating Catherine, which really is fairly it's not that bad for reality
TV
stuff.
It really is not.
You know?
It's not. But they really are having fun playing that footage. This is two episodes in a row where Cameron is really getting she's getting more screen time this season than she did last season. Last season was like one scene of her walking around an aquarium with her child on the floor. And then this one is I don't like her. She's a crazy person. I would never associate with her. You know, like every single episode.
Yeah. And Catherine's like, remember the last 5 years, Cameron? Remember that quote your mommy told you? What goes around comes around. That's where we're at. And she's into big open palm hand waving in this episode. That's her new or shrugging.
So then Leva, this is what cracked me up about Leva during this. So Leva's really just being a good friend. And she's like, you know what? If you hurt someone I care about, we'll have a problem. And I don't want to have a problem. Okay. And I just, you know what? I just want to move forward. Okay. So you know what? Let's just dead it. It's dead and done. Let's just let bygones be bygones. I'm like, Catherine hasn't said a word during this whole thing, Leva. You're the one who has now gone on this arc of like, I have something to say to you, and this is what I've got to say, and you know what? Let's just let bygones be bygones.
She's had the whole fight and the whole makeup in her own mind. Exactly. And Catherine's like,
yeah, well, she's like, okay, fine with me. Wave my palm. And she's like, it's really annoying, quite frankly, because if it was me or Madison, everybody would be like, ha ha ha, let's just keep this going, let's start a group text about it.
Well, that's true too,
which is true
but
too.
You know, yeah, it is true. But Leva was being a good friend. I just really enjoyed how she the entire, like, her entire story arc just happened in that one scene in her head.
Yeah, but I will say Leva's very promising, making Leva a lead, because I had no idea. We'd only seen her a couple of times on this show and, like, a friend overall. Yeah. So
I'm happy that Leva's getting her moment. She's been around for, like, seasons.
Yeah, Leva's going to take zero shit, so I'm here for Leva so far.
I know. I'm here, and she deserves better, because I think, I think like, her most prominent scene before this was like that one season where Craig was having some sort of event at a bar and she had to like help him put up a step and repeat. And he's like, how do I do it? And she's like, oh my God, I'm leaving this show.
I'll kill you. So Shep is talking to Craig and he's like, well, of course, the cat's out of the bag, I guess, Craig. He's like, oh my God, he was keeping cats in bags. That's terrible.
Do you ever think about putting a cat in a pillow? So then they're talking about Peter, you know, because that's the big controversy. Peter and Liz, the big Peter and Liz controversy. And Shep is like, gosh, I can't let the cat out of the bag about Peter and Madison. Gosh, but Austin doesn't know. And Craig's like, I'm pretty sure she bangs everyone. Oh my God. She just heard me.
Because Madison is like lip reading. She's like, she's got these just like eyes boring through you, you know? He's like, oh my God, I'm pretty sure she just heard me say that. Oh God, she heard me. She's staring right at us. Ow, my skin's coming off. Oh my God. And then it just cuts to Austin dancing like a jackass, you know? And then he goes over to Liz and he's like, what's up? What's up? And she's like, you got to make better decisions in your life, Austin. He's like, my highlights? This is my highlights. Or the beer. The highlights are the beer.
My boxers.
You've got to be specific.
Boxers, career path, the lack thereof. Which one?
Which is like, it's about who you date. And then we see Shep.
Bitchy thing to say, by the way, to someone. I'm not saying she's a bitch. I'm saying it's a bitchy thing to say.
Not really. I mean, I think it's a pretty normal thing to say if you're like, wow, I just found out my boyfriend banged your girlfriend behind our backs. So... nice choice.
I guess I don't know the timeline of Peter and Liz. I just think that, like, if Peter, I assume that Peter and Madison had sex when they were both single. So I just think that it's weird that Liz would, like, go up to him and be like, ah, you know, I just thought it was rude. But if Peter did it, I'm not gonna get dragged into the Peter and Liz drama and then get like it's serrated on the internet.
Well,
like,
we don't even know, you know, who knows something or another. But yeah, she wasn't cheating on Austin, so. But anyway, he's like, she won't tell him. He's like, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? Come on. You're being insane right now. Liz. You're being insane right now. And then it cuts to Shep, who is totally, totally sorry about this and did not mean to do this on purpose at all by having these people at the same party to embarrass Austin. It cuts to Shep talking to some rando and he's like, yes. And she's like, wait, you mean Peter and Madison? Peter and Madison?
And he's Peter like, yes, and Madison.
Penis and vagina. The whole thing. They were doing it. Don't tell anybody. Tell everybody.
He's like going up to Billy Joel. He's like, Peter and Madison. Billy Joel's like, what are you doing? He's like, well, you said tell me about it. Peter and Madison. I don't know why I felt the need to make a joke about it. I don't know,
but you know what? Billy Joel is always living in your brain, and that's something. So Austin's like, does this have something to do with, like, you, Liz? It's insane. And Madison, those eyes, you know, from across the room, it's like,
yeah.
You just hear him warming up. And she's like, we'll talk later. My skin is burning. And he's like, okay, well, thanks for the advice. Cheers.
So then we just see, like, Shep and Taylor dancing really hard. Like, they clearly took a class, and now they're showing off their little swing moves. And then we see John and Catherine, John Pringle, taking a photo together. And Patricia's like, well, Whitney, there's no food, so I think it's time for us to go. I mean, even though she's been there for, like, 3 hours, not be like, well, there's no food. I think it's time for me to go now. I say it. It's time for me to go, everyone. I'm just going to sneak out quietly because there's no food. I'm going to go. Anyone?
So Pringle's like, nice to meet you. And she's like, come over. We'll have you any day, person whose grandfather owns a home on the Battery. And he's like, okay, that sounds great. Love to steal your silverware. And it's like, all right, well, I'm going to sneak off now. And by sneak off, I mean,
I just had Michael Landon Jetson's Bentley in the lobby that'll loudly lift me out of this sad, shabby rental hall to a mansion that's paid for in full and full of food. There will be food in the mansion.
Don't mind me, I'm just the richest lady here, starving away to death. Just gonna go find some food, going to the steakhouse. Go find me at Halls. So, yes, sorry. It sounded like you had to say something, and
I was just gonna continue. So Madison, okay. Madison's like, Madison calls Shep over, okay. And she's like, Shep, over here, with shots. I thought this was a party. He's like, we're not allowed to pour shots because the government said no. She's like, I thought you were highfalutin. What the heck, Shep? So you're not allowed to pour shots at parties in Charleston?
Maybe it's some weird zoning thing.
How does anybody get pregnant in that town?
I'm sure if it weren't on camera, they'd be pouring shots. So Shep is like, oh, I'm not high society. I'm low society. Oh, gosh. She's like, well, I don't know what shit you talked about me tonight, but I hope it was all good. And she goes, yeah, I feel bad. I think Liz is upset. And she's like, well, I don't really know her that well. But what I do know is that when I'm in a relationship is my business.
Yeah. And I don't know why y'all get in my business. She's like, I'm just trying to sort it all out. He's like rubbing his nipples. He's like, yeah. I'm just trying to sort it all out. She's like, well, Austin has no idea what happened. Okay. So that's all you need to know. I respect that. Let's have fun. She's like, we are done. And so now she's mad. And so she gets on out of there. She's like, well, thank you for having me, sir. And Austin, of course, chases her out like, Madison! Madison!
Madison! This is a great party. Madison! It's insane that we're leaving. So then Shep thanks the whole crowd for coming. He's wearing Catherine's sequin jacket. And then Austin is... Or maybe now they're outside. I'm saying Austin's telling Madison what Liz said, but I think it's So Austin's telling he tells Madison that Liz made this comment about like, you better be careful who you date, you know, you never know, da 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 da. And he goes, she was like, I heard about everything yesterday, and I was like, what does that mean, Madison? This is insane, this gossip. What does this mean right now?
So they go walking down the street and she's I love Madison's blasé way of dealing with everything. She's like,
well, she was saying that I, like, fucked Peter, like, whatever.
And he stops her, and he's like, oh, did you? And she's like,
I don't know what to say right now. He's like, oh, my God.
She's just like, whatever.
She's like, who cares?
So the next day, tiny sad house. Craig is on the phone with Jerry, his business partner, on a Zoom call, and Jerry's just very business, you know, and we know because he's like, hey, Bed Bath & Beyond, Home Goods, Sephora, Saks, Target, just naming stores now, stop me whenever you got something to say, Craig. Walmart, yeah!
Craig's like, that's cool. And Amanda, the business partner, is like, Craig, I feel like you should be writing stuff down. Do you want to do that? He's like, yeah, unfortunately, my only pen is jammed in the wall because I was trying to make a hole with it. So I can't really write anything down. Oh. Sorry.
And then we see Lev at home making her bed, playing with her son. And then John Pringle? Pringle's ordering a hangover drink at the coffee shop. And the lady's like, how big is it? And he's like, as big as you got.
And then Catherine's organizing the townhouse that, you know, that she inherited. So now we go over to Madison's house, and Madison and Austin are sitting in bed, and he's like, I'm kind of stressed with everything that happened last night. Just like, this is not right. This is crazy right now. And they're in like a 4-post bed, but something looks like it's not screwed in properly. Did you notice that the posts were sort of like, they were just sort of like askew. I kind of wanted to go in there and like tighten something up. It felt strange.
It's like an IKEA 4-poster bed that you just could never get around to straightening up. Yeah, so he's like, you know, I was there to mend a rift between you and Shep. And then, whoa. It's like, well, I'm sorry you found out about that last night, but obviously I'm with you.
And he's like, yeah, but I was really disappointed to hear it. And then, like, one thing that caught me off guard is, like, Shep invited Peter to the same party. Like, it was like a fucking ambush again. And she's like, oh, I know.
Shep cannot help himself from running around and telling people what a fool I am. He cannot help himself at all. It's insane right now. It's insane what he can't help himself with.
He's like, and everyone's talking behind my back. He's like, why do you care what they say? He's like, cause it's the same shit from last year. Come on.
And so he gets all upset and he tells us, well, last year at Patricia's party, Shep did this and invited the girls from the threesome video just to upset me. And then it cuts to that, and he's like, total fucking ambush. Which is just, I hope he says that every season, because it's like a funny thing to reoccur.
He's good to have a hissy fit. That's his whole thing. So he's like, it pissed me off. I just can't do with it. I can't. So he storms out, and so we think that he just like has left Madison. Although later on, we found out he just went back to the backyard to sit on her rattan furniture.
Yeah, it's like, I'm really upset right now. I've got my hoodie on. I'm so upset. Like, just sits back there pouting until she comes outside.
So then we go over to Shep's house, and he's still like wearing his tuxedo shirt in bed, like he slept in it. And Taylor's feeding little Craig the dog, and she's making a big Bloody Mary. And then she hops onto Shep in bed, like, wake up, big guy. And it's like hugs and cuteness. And then Shep is like, gosh, I don't drink Bloody Marys. I thought you knew that about me. Gosh.
I can't with her cheese plate and her huge breakfast tray. Stop making effort for such a loser. You deserve better, Taylor.
It did make me want a Bloody Mary very badly. I was like, that looked like an amazing Bloody Mary. I'm not going to lie. She's winning me over in stupid ways. And by the way, Southern Charm is the show where I classically have the wrong takes on people for about a good two or three seasons. So I will come around to you, Ronnie, but just
I think she's me, fine. I think she's a nice she seems like a nice girl. I just can't get behind her being with Shep. It's gross because I think he's just using her as a crutch to look nicer on TV. It's like, everyone says that I'm, you know, this and that, and I won't settle down. So look at me. I have a really nice girlfriend. You know, it's like trying to like socially suck someone's social points for yourself. It's just gross. And then maybe she's using him to be on TV. I hope she is. I hope she's getting something out of it, but just like, girl, run, okay? Run.
Yeah. I mean, I think that what you're saying is probably right, but until I start feeling it more in my soul, I just have to just admire her Bloody Marys.
Okay, that's fair. So they talk about the party, and she's like, well, everyone was really kind to me. And he's like, except for me, I wasn't kind. She goes, yeah, you weren't very kind. And he's like, oh, gosh, I just feel awful about opening my big fat mouth. I mean, the thing about Peter or Madison, you know, maybe I should have just stayed out of that.
Oh, yeah. Maybe I shouldn't have gone around telling everyone that Peter slept with Madison and that Liz is an idiot for being with her. Oh, my God. I hope no one ever has sex with Liz as a result. Gosh, I should never have said all that stuff. Oh, I'm an idiot opening my big fat mouth.
And Taylor's like, well, you said you were going to stay out of it, and you're going to stay out of it, and you're going to stay out of it, and you're going to stay. And 10 minutes later, you are a bad boy, Shep, a very bad boy. It's like, get me out of this apartment. I'm like, she's starting to lose
Cameron,
it.
Right?
Huh?
That's like standard Cameron share. Like, Shepherd.
You bad Shepherd, boy. You have to yes. stop the Shepherd.
And she's similar, right? She's like a similar type. Mm-hmm. And he's like, okay, Cars, no more gossip. Hey, will you tell everyone not to gossip with me? Okay. Mm-hmm. Say you can gossip, but don't gossip. Okay. And she's like, okay, I will. She said, will you be my gossip shield? Okay. Shield me from gossip. She's like, yeah, we XOXO. All make mistakes, bad boy.
XOXO, gossip girl. So. That's one secret I'll never garsh.
It's the garship lollipop.
I don't even know. I know you were making a reference to something. I didn't get it, but I liked it.
It's back from my day, the 1910s, man. Back when I was a young girl. So who cares?
He basically is saying that she's not trying to change him, but just fine-tuning him a little bit. So, I mean, and if anyone could use some fine-tuning, it's definitely Shep's shower.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a crap.
What if there was a place you could discover all of the world's best independent ethical brands? A platform which takes the effort out of finding sustainably produced fashion, jewelry, accessories, homeware, beauty, and gifts without compromising on quality, design, or price. Meet Wolf & Badger. Wolf & Badger delivers limited edition collections from artisans around the globe. Items produced in small quantities and made to last, right to your door or to try on in stores in London and New York. Rather than framing products around trends, Wolf & Badger places emphasis on the creators and the stories behind their unique products. Their sustainability guarantees mean that not only will you be one of a handful of people to own each piece, but you'll be shaping the future world that you want to live in. Beyond five-star reviews, they've been featured in the New York Times, Harper's Bazaar, Vogue, and in Drapers, which just named them the Sustainable Retailer of the Year in 2020. Support small business and find a new way to shop. Visit wolfandbadger.com today and save 10% off your first order. Just use code STITCHER at checkout. That's STITCHER at checkout. Discover unforgettable gifts and find your new favorite designers, all at Wolf and Badger.
Ben's commercial.
So now we're in, now Madison's in bed and she's like, all right, I'm going to go check back in the backyard. So she goes outside and the music's like very serious, as if like maybe she might have gone back out, like outside, and Austin had like slit his throat on the rattan furniture.
Oh,
but no.
No, it's not serious music. It's not serious music. It's solemn music. I had closed captions turned on, and the way they described every song was so funny. It's like solemn music. And here he is sitting on the bench, folding his arms with his hoodie up like me.
Yeah, as if as if
Austin hasn't fucked plenty of people in their friend circle every time they're broken up. I mean,
who the fuck cares that someone that Madison slept with was at that party? Like, just like, I mean, I know that's actually not really what Austin's upset about. He's upset because he feels like Shep was trying to ambush him.
Nah, Shep's making him look stupid again.
Yeah, so Madison's like, I just don't want what people say to affect you, Austin. And he's like, it hurts. It hurts. So then she goes and lowers his hood. And she's like, people are going to continue to try to break this relationship up. And it makes me sick. Makes me sick, Austin.
I don't want this relationship to break up until I break up with you and screw John Pringle in about two episodes. Okay? But for right now, don't cry, little hood man. And he's like, okay, I can't be mad at you. Let's move forward. Hug me. No, you hug me. No, you hug me.
I feel like Austin should have hugged her, by the way. Not, it's like, you hug me. You hug me. I'm like, no, I know you're being jokey and just playful banter, and there's no point in looking into it, but you should have hugged Madison, I think, because she was the one who was kind of getting slut-shamed by this whole situation.
So now, lively jazz music. And we go to Luxia Spa.
The least solemn place in all of Charleston. Not solemn at all.
So Catherine shows up in some weird pink jumpsuit thing from Mad Men and some fuzzy slippers and like a little girl's bow in her hair. Like, when I say she's a little girl's pink bow in her hair, I mean from like Little House on the Prairie bows. Like, what the hell?
Yeah, and she apparently is wearing Kinsey's socks. So she's literally like a pink little girl. And then Danny joins and she's just all in black. She's like,
yeah. It's like, I'm a little girl. I'm an artist. It's like, okay, you two. So they start talking about the party, and Catherine's like, you know, I mean, he seems super happy-go-lucky, Shep. I mean, she seemed kind of young, though. I'm like, ew, who are you? You're dating Milton Berle again.
Not Milton Berle. And Danny is saying that basically she's like, well, you know, Shep doesn't like it when people have expectations of him. And Catherine's like, well, do you think that she has any expectations? And Danny's like, yeah, for sure. And they're basically saying how, like, Shep hasn't, like, they haven't put a name on their relationship. And Danny's like, not yet. Like, give it some time. Give it some time before Taylor tries to lock that down.
Yeah. And Danny's like, I mean, look, I played the cool girl too, but you can't corner Shep. And once you try and corner him, he's like, peace out. And by the way, she looks like the lady from Mad TV in her confessional. I don't know how many spray tans. Maybe it was like during Corona and they were offering 5 spray tans for one and she got them all at the same time. I don't know, but she looks great. Like, Cabana Boy! Hey, Cabana Boy! I was like, Danny, calm down a little bit. Get a towel. You look ridiculous.
She's now going to be crying in the corner of the room when she hears this. So,
she's not going to hear this.
Hell yes, she is.
No, she's not. If you're listening to this, anyone from these, don't listen to this. What are you? We're fucking monsters. Go away. Watch TV. Get Netflix.
Well, I mean, the thing is this, though. You didn't say anything that was wrong. Okay.
Cabana so, bar. Yeah.
So Danny's like, well, I still have the energy. Let's talk about John Pringle, okay? So what was up with you and John Pringle? And Catherine's like, we nuzzled. And apparently John kissed her. And it was like two or three times that he kissed her at the party.
Did you like it? She's like, yeah, but will it happen again? Blinks like 10 times. She's like, no. He's like legit recently divorced and he was talking to me about it. And I was like, okay, he's not over it. And she says that she thinks he's really nice, but she wasn't like, oh my God, it's like my husband. And then Danny's like, and you and Thomas aren't living again together, right? It's like, oh, actually, we did kind of hook up, but it was a few months ago. And Danny's like, ha, 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 what? Okay. And that's when I set this nail place on fire, if I'm your friend. That's when I flip up all the tables, start all the little bottles individually on fire, and call you a traitor for putting me through this, listening to this fucking abuse that this guy's rained down on your head, and now you're just sitting here giggling over getting your nails done, like, ah, we hooked up.
I know.
Fuck off. You betrayed me. You betrayed the audience. You've betrayed America, ma'am.
And she's like, one day, maybe we'll get back together. I mean, you never know. When you have children together, you always wonder, what is there to wonder about? Whether or not you're going to get back with an alleged rapist who gaslit you, who tried to take your children from you, who like forced you into rehab for weed, who tried to destroy your life, who married, who got together with a wretch who then started saying the most vile things about you on TV, a person who has in many ways destroyed your life. What is there to wonder and fantasize?
Girl, like, sometimes you just got a Nancy Reagan it. No, just say no. Okay, that's it. No. Just say no. The end.
Just say no.
So let's go over to the rare bit. We're the rare bit.
Rare bit. It's the rare bit. It's the rare bit. So Whitney, Austin, and Craig get together, which gives Austin a chance to do the thing that drives me nuts. He walks in and he goes, gents.
That's just like you've been hanging out with the Summer House crew too much.
You've been hanging out with Carl, haven't you?
Yes.
He actually literally has been. He was on Summer House.
Yeah. He was like, gents?
Gents?
Like, you, sir, are no Carl. Okay, cut the shit.
Yeah, if you're gonna say a douchey hello, like, gents, leave it to the experts. Leave it to Carl. Gents, you look great, by the way.
You look great, by the way. So Craig and Whitney and Austin are all meeting up, and Whitney's like, what's up, Rocket Man?
Hey, mother. How honored am I to be with a pillow and beer magnet all in one sitting? You're the mother.
So we know this waitress, right? Who is this waitress? Does she look familiar?
I'll tell you why you know her. Because we went to that restaurant when we went to Charleston.
Oh.
So we must. I was like, have I met her?
I've given her 20% of a meal one time.
Do you live in that house on the Battery?
Hey, you look like a 22% earner. Okay, I remember that day. You did a great job. Are you the lady that refilled my water without me asking? God damn it, get over here and give me a hug.
By the battery? Are you related to Joanne Bugle?
So, let's see. So they're talking about how Austin and Craig are living together. When it's like,
you guys would make a great couple.
Just make a great couple. And
people say that we're dating. Isn't that insane right now? Because I'm dating Madison, not Craig. It's insane that people would say that.
Craig's like, I'd be a hell of a boyfriend. When it's like, you guys should try it. You should try it. And Austin's like, we are trying it right now. Okay.
And then Whitney says something like, oh, you guys kind of pillow fights. And then Austin's like, do you know when Austin, when he thinks something's really funny, his mouth just like opens and he has a full on Fozzie Bear laugh where the mouth opens and then it just stays there. It's almost like it breaks. He's like,
So he's talking about how last year was so out of focus because he was stressed about Madison. But now that, you know, now that they're together, like he spent all that time really trying to show her that he could do it. And now his beers are on draft in some of the biggest bars in Charleston.
Yeah, because the big news, guys, is that this weekend is the Charleston Food and Wine thing. All right, Charleston Food and Wine, it's happening. And Trop Hop has a tent, okay? Trop Hop has a tent, which is also coincidentally the same tent that it's brewed in, okay? So this is really exciting for Trop Hop.
Yeah. And now let's see what happens when a man fucks somebody over on this show, okay? Austin's like, oh my God, that party the other night, like, I don't know if I can even invite Shep. I mean, he invited Peter and Liz. And Craig's like, well, yeah, Madison hooked up with Peter. And Austin's like, that was just such a cheap shot. I mean, that. And Craig's like, uh-uh, that night was innocent enough. Peter's our friend. And besides, Shep's going to therapy. And Whitney's like, yeah, he's ultimately a good person. I mean, unless you're homeless, you know. So, Craig, you might want to watch your back.
Yeah. Yeah, so they're basically, like, the question is whether or not Austin's going to be inviting Shep to the Trop Hop tent, etc. But, yeah. So, Austin's just, like, so sick of it. He's just sick of it right now, okay? He thinks it was a setup, and he's sick of it. And it's, you know, I'm not being vindictive. I just want to have a good day there, okay? I'm sick of this sanity right now.
And Craig's like, yeah, Jerry's in town, my business partner. We're like literally in the thousands of pillows right now. And when he's like, well, I guess to pillows and beer. To pillows and beer. And Craig's like, yeah, it's the name of our new sex tape.
And when he's like, mother, mother, did you hear that joke, mother?
So let's go to Leva's house.
So this is Leva's first proper, like, welcome to Leva's life scene in the history of Southern Charm. So she's doing some makeup. Lamar comes in holding their adorable baby, who is, by the way, better dressed than I've ever been. Like, I hate when babies are better dressed than I am. Like, I feel like that's so rude. And it happens so often. Like, it's just like a really stylish baby. Mm. And Leva's like, I got you a surprise from Starbucks. And she has a bag. And I honestly was like, based on the kid's clothing, I thought she was going to give the baby like a little iced coffee. Just like a little baby sized macchiato or something, like cold macchiato.
They have those. But you can get your dog a little Starbucks thing. Did you know that? They give him like a little whipped cream cup, like a little doggy size.
I did not know that. I did not. I just feel like that child is already very sophisticated, dressed very well. And just like, you know, does lots of very important things in life that I will never do.
I like that Leva's just that kind of mom who's like, fuck this. I'm going to Starbucks before I can even deal with making breakfast for my family. Like, she goes to Starbucks, gets a full-on bag of shit, and then comes home and starts cooking breakfast for everybody.
It's like a huge amount of eggs. A huge amount of eggs in, like, a speckled pan. And I was like, yeah. I kind of was, like, invested.
That's a baller right there. So he's crying, and he's doing that thing where he's like, and he sees the cake pop, and he's like,
like, not sure I can really continue his commitment to the crying.
Like, he will take the cake pop, but he's not going to promise you he's not going to keep crying. He's like, yeah. I will take it. I will stop for a moment, but I reserve the right to keep crying on your ass.
Yes. In about 2 seconds. Please do not think that this has mollified me. It's just something I enjoy, but I still have concerns that have not been met.
Yeah. So Lamar is talking about how they're getting their sports bar finished. And she's like, we're a business couple. We're restaurateurs. And when we opened Republic, there was like a line around the block that has continued. Literally, same old lady died. One lady from the first night died, actually, because the line was so long. It's like 2 years later. She's dead. So yeah. We're killing it.
Love is like, we're a little well-known. And so she's talking about all the places that they have. They've got Republic and Bourbon and Bubbles and Mesu. And now they're opening up a high-end sports bar. And they want to bring a little bit of Miami and New York to Charleston. So then we learn how. Yeah. So we did. So we did. So Leva tells us how she met Lamar. She met Lamar on her 29th birthday. And she's like, yeah, I felt like I'd met a wolf that I could run with. I'm like, okay, Leva.
Yeah,
I was a real wolf. Real wolf we could run with. We could build things together. We were inspired. That's what we could do. Real wolf. Yeah.
You know what I find sexy? His intelligence. Okay? That's a sustainable sexy, okay? No dolphins were killed in the making of that sexy, okay? And I'm sure he finds the same thing with me. And she's like, baby, you know, take care of baby, take care of baby. And then comes back. She's like, I mean, when we were dating, people stared at us. And then she starts talking about being a mixed race couple in Charleston, like a super white place in the South. And she's like, and people still look at me like, what the fuck are you doing here? You know? And Lamar told her one day when she was venting that people need people like them to change the social climate in a city. And I fucking love that.
I agree.
Beautifully said, sir.
Beautifully said. Beautifully said.
Yeah.
So then I'll tell you what we don't need to change the social climate of the of any city. Shep CrossFit. At the gym.
Yeah, Shep doing CrossFit. No thanks.
It's like Gosh. A weird like Gosh. The variation on Garsh. 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 So Craig and Austin show up. And, you know, sometime in July, I think, there was a picture of the three of them working out. I wonder if it was from this day of shooting, because then, like, a week later, Craig got coronavirus. So I'm just, like, wondering, yeah, were they, like, were you guys doing this workout in the middle of the pandemic, like an indoors workout? Jeez.
Well, has it started yet? On
the show? I mean, you never know. They put footage in different times. Although, who knows? It's not worth getting... like
the corona investigation.
I'm not gonna go down this path.
You have like a big Venn diagram of like when it came and when this scene was filmed and who was
I'm just wondering
that moment.
I'm just wondering when I can start shaming. Okay, that's it. I'm just like chomping at the bit to shame. So anyways, they show up and the trainer's like, okay, you guys are planking. Which so then we see them all.
If anybody said that to me, they'd be fucking dead. I'll tell you that right now. I'd walk outside that gym, get in my car, turn it on, drive it through the window, and run them over. And I don't care how many fucking kettlebells are standing in my way.
You guys are planking. You're planking.
That guy died. His last words were, "You guys are planking." R.I.P.
So they work out, and now it's that standard thing where the trainer says, "Hey, I'm just gonna check on a thing in another room for no good reason. I'll be right back. You guys shoot your scene."
Yeah. So basically, Austin has been ready to go at it. You know, he's like, "Well, I wish I didn't like show up to my buddy's party only to have you make me look like a goddamn fool. It makes me look like a fucking goddamn fool again, Shep."
Austin, you do so much of that heavy lifting yourself. Don't you worry.
And he's like, "What? I just heard that info with the party. So I didn't set you up. I mean, you know, I just don't want to hear about it. I didn't want to hear about it. I have so much angst. And then when I was telling that girl, oh my God, will you believe what happened? That gave me angst too. And when I was telling the doorman about it, that gave me angst too. When I was writing Madison's phone number on the bathroom stall with the big dick through the numbers, it gave me so much angst too.
So much, gosh. It hurt." And then Craig is, and so he's like, "Oh, I'm so sorry. I wish I hadn't talked about those rumors at all." So Craig's like, "I'm fascinated by this new Shep. I've never seen him apologize. I've just never seen it."
And then you see Shep's face and he's like, he's like snarling. He's so uncomfortable being forced to apologize. And he's doing the Shep thing when he's lying, which is like banging his leg up and down.
That foot is lying.
It's like boom, boom, boom.
It's
boom,
about
boom,
to
boom,
fall
boom,
right
boom,
off.
Boom. Yeah. That's usually, we get that in the reunions usually when he's losing his fucking mind. And Austin's like, "Okay, well, I guess you apologize. So come to the Food and Wine Festival. I got a booth. Okay, and look, I don't care if you don't like Madison, okay? Just don't talk to her. Like, I just don't want this to ruin my big day. That would be insane, Madison." He's like, "All right, well, hopefully we can both act like adults then."
"I want nothing more. I want nothing more. It's insane how much I want that."
And then we go to Pat's house, and this is the sweet sounds of steady instrumental music. What's the description on the closed caption?
Oh, is that what that was?
Yes.
Because she comes down. She comes down the stairs and Whitney is there pouring wine through one of those aerator things. And she's like, "Well, it's cocktail hour. So should I have a martini or a bourbon sour? It's the new thing, new hot thing, bourbon sour." And Michael's like, "Well, the martini's already made, ma'am."
Like, "I'd like to taste that martini before it's handed to me," which is very rude. "Please, everyone, look away. Hold peaches, Michael. Hold peaches."
ha, 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 ha. Yeah, she like sips the martini from like the floor because she thinks she's gonna spill it, and she's like, ah, I should have gone with the bourbon sour, but I guess Michael jumped the gun. Everyone look away while I throw this frying pan at his head. There we go. That was great.
So Pringle arrives. Master Pringle has arrived, ma'am. So Pringle comes in basically smelling of like 2 weeks ago. Like the poor guy just looks.
I know.
Like were you left this morning? Like how did the, when were you kicked out of the house like 3 days ago? Like what is this? What is the timeline on this?
Why are you out shepping Shep with your hygiene right now? Like why are you making Shep not look like the dirtiest person on the show?
Yeah, you're making Shep look like a fantastic Sam's hair model right now, like all clean cut, just newly shaved and showered.
So he has a he's brought like a bouquet, and he's like, I brought these with you. He does that thing where he like he holds his shoulders up and then does a lot of like swinging from the elbows, you know. So he's like, I brought these flowers for you. They're from my personal florist at Publix. And sorry about the presentation, you know. And he's wearing a denim jacket. And so Whitney's like, mother, we're both wearing fucking matching jean jackets. Mother, look, did you see mother?
And he's like, Michael has a specialty martini. You might want to try out. And he's like, yeah, I'll take vodka. And he's like, we don't do vodka here, sir. It's like, yeah, we don't do vodka. And Michael says, yeah, gin's a botanical, and it's very healthy for you. And vodka is made from a crummy potato that's been in the filth. Patricia goes, day class A. Day class A, sir. Day class A.
Well, since we got two juniper berries here, why don't we come sit down here? Come sit down. And then Whitney and Patricia have this, like, they become obsessed with making John Pringle sit on the couch. Did you notice that? Well, come on, sit down. Come on, come sit down. Come sit down. He's like, well, it was so great to be here in Charleston. Come sit down. Come sit down. Please, sit down. Sit down. Yeah, well, I just wanted to say this bouquet is for you. Sit down. Come sit down on the couch. Come sit down on the couch.
He's like, well, my father knows I'm coming over, and, you know, he has spent many a Saturday in this library, because my grandfather would bring his family here.
Oh, yes, it used to be a library. So your grandfather, is that the one that had the house on the battery?
It's like, what are you, fucking Zillow? Jesus, that's all you talk She's about.
Obsessed with the house on the battery. She's going to write a little book.
Like, yeah.
The House on the Battery by Patricia.
The House on the Battery and why it's not as good as the house that I write this from.
Little House on the Battery.
So he talks about how his dad was raised there with his sisters, and he tells us, I'm an 8th generation Charlestonian. Judge Robert Pringle came over in 1725. Do not fact check that. But more recently, my grandfather had a house on the Battery.
On the Battery, right?
On the battery. It was on the Battery.
All right, well, we will not fact check about Judge Robert Pringle, probably for a variety of reasons.
Okay. Yeah, I don't need to know your problematic Pat. I have enough problems with you currently, and I don't even know you. Like, I know nothing about you. I already do not like your grooming habits or your general, I don't know, just like the way every girl's like, oh, yeah, look at the new hottie for doing nothing. Like, what has this guy done? It's like he's some fucking loafer in Charleston whose grandpa was rich. You know, yeah, I'm already annoyed with you. I will not be Googling your family history. Thanks.
I don't want to be burdened with that. Yeah. So so then Whitney's like, oh, so the house on the can we get back to the house on the battery? Is it the Victorian? And he's like, oh, no. The Victorian is 20. That's where my great uncle Ernest Pringle lived. On the battery. off the battery. Oh, because I knew an Ernest Pringle who lived on the battery. Oh, that's my other uncle Ernest. He lives on the battery. Ah, on the battery.
Sir, would you care for an onion, a twist, or an olive with your non-vodka martini, you tacky fuck. He's like, an olive, I guess. So I know you went to school with shit, wild, crazy. Okay, great. So now tell me about your money. He's like, well, I moved to New York after school. I worked as an energy derivatives clerk, which I still do
on
today.
The battery. Did you work on the battery?
Batteries, when you say energy, do you mean battery energy derivatives? Know what you mean?
When you say derivative, are you saying how AAA batteries are sort of like a derivative of AA batteries, right?
Well, that sounds like a very high-stress job, I suppose. Any job would be high-stress, really. Good for you for... What is it your grandfather did on the battery again?
And then they're making some joke about, like, drinking or whatever. And then Whitney's like... Do you have a good tailored suit?
Well, first Patricia goes, well, it looked like you were having fun at that party in that blue tuxedo thing.
That's right.
And he's like, yeah. When he goes, come on, don't you have a good tailored suit? And he's like, no, I lost it all in the divorce, you know. And my kids are 6 and 7, which is devastating being away from them. But I'm back here where my emotional support is. You know, San Diego just isn't home. Home is where the... House battery on the is. Battery is.
Home is where the battery.
That's so sad. It's like your emotional support's not your kids. Awkward. So he's like, you know, coming back helps me be in a good headspace for my children. And he speaks well of his wife or whatever. He says, she's a wonderful woman. She's like, mm-hmm, right. So are you looking for someone or not, battery man?
Who can I set you up with? And do they live on the battery, perhaps?
I know an energizer air, if that helps.
So she's like, what do you think about Madison, right? You like her? And he's like, oh, well, you know, she's stunning, but she's with someone, right? She goes, well, I don't think for long. You know what they say about batteries? They eventually die.
She's like, well, she's so career-driven and ambitious, and he's just so lackadaisical. And Whitney's like, oh, mother, he's making an effort, mother. Well, he's in 3 stores in Charleston. It's not Budweiser.
And Whitney's like, well, you have to start somewhere, mother. Well, Madison deserves Budweiser, which is, by the way, a real...
I couldn't believe Patricia's mouth actually... Let her say the words Budweiser. Like, I can't even believe that was allowed to come out of her mouth. I would have thought that her body would have had such a visceral reaction that she would have swallowed her tongue before she said Budweiser.
Well, I think that, like, what I love about Patricia is how she has now, you know, given Madison such a high compliment that is also at the same time a total insult. It like works in so many different ways.
Madison deserves PBR, that's for sure. So let's go to the Food and Wine Festival.
Yeah, it's the premier springtime festival in all of Charleston, and I looked it up, and this festival happened like March 5th, like the weekend of March 5th or so. So it was right. This is like we're on pandemic brink.
COVID alert. COVID alert.
Yeah, I just was curious. There was no COVID shaming involved. I just was fascinated to see where the timeline is of our show.
Yeah, it was close. It's getting close. Because when did that happen? Like March 15th, right?
Or it was like April? A week later when all of a sudden we're like,
Yeah, when everyone's like, that's it.
Yeah, just look up whenever Tom Hanks got COVID. That was when America was like,
Tom Hanks can get it, we can all get it.
Pretty much, yeah. And it's true.
It is true, yeah. Tom Hanks made it real, for sure.
Mm-hmm. So this has been, it's a huge opportunity for me to showcase my beer. Huge. Hey, did you bring that flower pot? That's insane that you brought a flower pot. Because the next tent over, the guy brought a flower pot for his tent, and he's like, it's insane. He has a plant that's insane. Right now.
And Craig comes up and he's like, I like your merch. Also, I hate the word merch. What a stupid word.
What does merch mean?
So Craig's going to be a volunteer so he can work behind the thing or whatever. And it's time to open the gates, Wood. So Catherine comes and Madison's there. Everybody's there. And they're like, hey, Catherine, try this beer. She's like, I don't really drink beer, but I'll try it. And they give her a taster glass and she just slowly chugs the whole beer.
She chugs it the way you would expect Catherine to chug a beer. Pinky very up. Slowly.
Pinky up.
Just slowly like.
Yeah, everyone just looks at this as a fun show. I look at this as a custody hearing, okay? I look at this as evidence in an upcoming custody hearing, which you know is coming, Catherine. Mm-hmm. What are you doing? Catherine needs like a little gay behind her and not the one we had before. What was his name? How dare you come to my man and woman ball with a non-opposite gender date?
I feel like his name, I want to say Parker, but it wasn't Parker. It was like, she's,
well, how God, can what, we forget like his a, name? But she does need a little gay on her shoulder. Like, girl, no, stop it. No, girl.
I'm going to say gay on Southern Charm. Shep Rose slams Lindsey Graham. Okay, that wasn't what I was looking for. I forgot his name. You know what? Whatever. Well, I'll look. I'll just be Googling. Don't worry.
Okay. So they're selling the beer and stuff, giving little tasters to everybody. And Craig's like, Madison might not be good for Austin's mental health, but for business, she's invaluable. Because she's like, you want this? You want a hat too? Because that's $25. We take Apple Pay. We take it right out of your damn pocket. Get over here, honey. Like, she's selling the shit out of everything. And then Pringle comes. Dun, dun, dun.
John Pringle. By the way, I have to say that I went through two pages of search results and I could not find his name, which is sad for him. That's sad. Sad for our little Southern Charm gay.
A little ginger gay.
A little ginger gay. God, it's driving me nuts. So so John Pringle's there and he's like, what's up, Madison? How are you? And Catherine's like, And Madison's like, hey, because John Pringle's wearing his jean jacket. And Madison's like, Austin said he might do a jean jacket. And I said, that might be a little girly. But I mean, you're not making it look girly at all. I was like, you better watch it, Madison. Yeah. First of all, there's nothing girly about a jean jacket. Second of all, you better watch it, Madison, okay?
I thought that was just so funny. It's so emasculating. It's like, wow, I thought he was going to look girly, but you sure don't. And Austin's just like,
So Catherine's being like all bashful and everything because she's like, he kissed me last night. And Austin's like, keep it super cash right now. Just keep it cash, okay? Mm-hmm. So then Madison is like, she's like, Austin, stop talking and get the lady a drink. And of course, by lady, I mean John Pringle, of course. See what I said? See what I did there? Jean jacket.
So he asks what they did. She's like, we didn't do nothing last night. He's like, oh, well, because you had to get here this morning? She goes, no, I was already at work before I came here. Okay. I went to work and came here in the same day. I'm a woman. Hear me roar. I can bring home the bacon, put it home in the pan. Okay? Know what I'm saying? And he's like, well, you know, I just had to rest last night. I just don't know if I can keep up with Shep. She's like, I like you. The more you talk, the more I like you. Don't keep up. He's his own breed. I'm going to get you a refill. Manly looking in a jeans jacket. Do not put on that jeans jacket, Austin. Little woman. Man. All right. Manly, if there were five Austins in five jean jackets, it would be a remake of The Little Women. Okay? That's all I'm saying. Austin.
John Pringle's just chatting and then he goes up to Catherine and he's like, hello Catherine, how are you? We definitely did not kiss last night, and if we did, we're gonna pretend like it didn't happen, all right? And she's like, shiver, I'm cold. He's like, you want my jacket, good old-fashioned Wrangler, huh? She's like, no.
I'm sorry, I'm still looking up gay on Southern Charm. I can't
find it. It's like killing me. I just know everyone's gonna be like, don't you remember? It's I really want to say Parker, but it's not.
No.
Oh. Gay guy on Southern Charm, redhead.
We have to know, yeah.
We're gonna find it. We're gonna get to the bottom of it. And he's always trying to always like, reveal the truth about Patricia Altschul. That's what I gotta say.
Yeah. Season two, maybe. Season two.
I'm gonna say Patricia Gay Southern Charm. How about that? Maybe that'll...
I've tried so many... Southern Charm, Catherine's Friend, Gay Season 2 is what I'm on now. That's how many different things I've tried.
How is it that he's, like, just not showing up anywhere?
God, Patricia's really powerful. She just had his ass scrubbed from the entire... She's like, hey, listen, Cooper, now, Pringle. Now, Cooper. I was friends with Mr. Google, who was next to you on the battery, next to your grandfather. Let's have him over for dinner. Get him to scrub a bit.
I finally found one post by Mr. Cooper Ray.
And Cooper. He said, Cooper.
I'm surprised Andy Cohen didn't take offense to the assertion that being called gay is unflattering. It's all a matter of taste. If a woman thinks you're gay and you're not, why is that an insult? Okay. Cooper has some sort of... has some sort of political statement on Facebook.
Cooper, Cooper! That's it. Cooper.
I said Parker. Cooper, Parker.
Yeah.
Cooper Lewis can't lose. I was close.
Okay, everybody. Sorry. That was a strange detour, but we had to know.
But so, we had to. We
knew had to remember. So let's see. So Pringle, blah, blah, blah. Pringle to Catherine. He's like, you look lovely. And she's like, I'm chilly, though. It's like, oh, smooth, Catherine. And he's like, you want my jacket? It's like, oh, no, I'm good. Thank you. I was just seeing if you would give it to me since I showed up in a bra and a shirt that's pretty flimsy for, you know, the cold. And he's like, so how are the kids? Oh, your kids in acting school? I went to, who cares? So he goes, yeah, I went to theater school before music and day trading energy derivatives. And she goes, what? And he's like, oil and gas. And she goes, stocks.
Like stocks? Well, it's commodities. Stock. Yeah. Stock. Is it on the battery? Stock. Battery.
So, let's see. So the producer asks Pringle, who's more your type, Madison or Catherine? He's like, Madison, blonde, hot, and whether or not they think they are, look a little high maintenance. It's like, wow, the new guy in Charleston wants a hot blonde girl. I am shocked.
It is a little shocking. It is. I'm glad he didn't include intelligence on there because no need to buck the trend, yeah. Right?
So Austin's like selling his grapefruit IPA, Trop Hop. God, Trop Hop. I forgot the name of that too. That was like the Cooper of this episode. I was like, what's his name again? What's that beer's name? Trop Hop.
That's insane, Ronnie. Trop Hop is in three high volume bars. Doesn't mean they have a high volume of clientele. It just means they're very loud bars. And it's in three of them. It's insane right now.
Can I speak with Mr. Budweiser? No, I'm leaving. There's no Budweiser here. So this older lady is like, I'm a beer connoisseur and this is delicious. And Catherine's like, that old lady looks like she's trying to hit on younger men and I love it. And she goes, and I thought, God, that's rude. And then the lady's like, you are all pathetically good looking.
Hey, you in that girly jean jacket, are you from the Battery?
So Madison's like, yeah, you know what? I really think that this whole beer selling thing, I mean, he is selling things and I'm liking it. It is so sexy.
Sure. And then John Pringle is asking if Shep is coming. And she's like, who cares? He keeps proving to me over and over again that he's a freaking tool. I'm sorry, were we talking about Austin or Shep? I can't remember what you asked me.
And he's like, okay, so I take it you don't like each other? She's like, oh, you haven't heard? You're a terrible liar, and I don't like that about you. And he's like, well, what did I hear from Shep? Well, he said that his party was an olive branch to you, and that got flushed down the toilet, and he doesn't like to be challenged, and neither do you. She's like, oh, there's no challenge here. There is no challenge here.
So then Whitney shows up, and then Craig goes over to John Pringle, and he's like, I'm glad you're not a douchebag, which I'm like, has that been decided?
Yeah, it's a little early to make that call. Even Pringle's like, no promises on that one, buddy.
He's like, I might be the secret 007 douche. I'm like, may not be that secret.
And Whitney's like, could you do something about that beard? Like, shave. It shouldn't be down to here. And he's like, okay, and I guess I'll get rid of my neck beard too. So thanks. Thanks, Whitney.
Whitney is, I think he's on a different reality show. I think he thinks he's like Hector Elizondo on Pretty Woman or something like that. He's just like, he's like, wants to get him a tailored suit. He wants him to change the way he shaves. He wants him to get into gin instead of vodka. I think Whitney's just like, his reality show is just to spiff up John Pringle.
Yeah, it's like a remake show. It's like he's going to get somebody off the bus bench and put them on TV and just slowly but surely make them presentable.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so then Austin's telling Madison, just please let me handle Shep. And she's like, well, if he comes in here with shit, I'm giving it to him. And so Shep, of course, comes right behind the counter and is like, whoa, ask me about this beer. I know nothing about it.
Yeah. And she's like, well, of course you don't. And he's like, oh, it's good not knowing things. Ah, it's underrated. I mean, look how much people love Craig. And what does he know? He just cut to Craig, just like pawing at the tent. Like, weird. This wall's soft. Strange.
And Steph's like, we can talk about stuff at a later time. You know, I'm coming to you with my hat in my hand. I don't want to be at odds. And she's like, oh, these apologies. We got to get these down, okay? Because I don't have time for phony bullshit. And how many times are we doing this, Shep? How many times are you just going to come in here and apologize? Of course, I'm sorry about being sorry, okay? You know, it's just that he's really crazy about you. And if you're not crazy about him, and Austin's like, guys, please, it's my beer party.
I know. Austin's concerned that this will actually impact anyone's like perception of Trop Op. So yeah, she's like, can we do this at a different time, guys? Can we please do this at a different time? And he's like, well, I thought this was the perfect time to talk to Madison. And then a customer's like, so where do I buy this Trop Op at? And Austin's like, like we're supposed to believe he's distracted, but I actually believe that's just what the actual answer is on where to get Trop Hop.
And so back to Shep and Madison. He's like, I want to stay out of it. It's like, but that's hard for me to believe, Shepard. Well, it's been 2 years and it's like a broken record. You know, I just want out. And it's like, well, I'm not going anywhere. And so you better freaking relax, okay? And so why are you shaking, Shep? I'm not coming for you, Shep. And he's like, of course, I'm not scared of you. I'm not scared of you. But he totally looks like he's scared. If he was sitting down, that leg would totally be thump, 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 thump.
Exactly. My hat's in my hand. If I say my hat's in my hand another time, will that make you forgive me? My hat's in my hand, Garsh. Listen, he's my friend, and I don't want him to be hurt. Wait, no. I want him to be hurt, but I want it to be me who hurts him, not you, okay? I'm trying to stick up for my friends. That way I can hurt him instead, Garsh.
Yeah, if you feel a certain way, let him go. If you care, just let him go. You know, set him free. If you love him, set him free. And Austin's like, guys.
This is the exact opposite of what I wanted to happen, guys. Exact opposite.
It's like, well, if you want to make up with me, best way to show that is by buying a hat.
He's like, it's like, gosh, and Shep it's can't like be the mad Cold War with Russia. Buy. What?
I'm about to say, Shep better not be mad about that because he's made everyone buy his stupid hats.
Yeah. It's like the Cold War with Russia and the U.S. Like, our rockets are pointed at you, but let's not start a world war, okay? Grapefruit beer. Nyet.
This reminds me of the great Ken Burns documentary, The Vietnam War, which detailed some of the repercussions of that cruel Cold War that we were in. It was a 10-part miniseries that aired on PBS, and I learned so much from it. What did you learn, Austin? This is insane right now. This is insane. It's my beard's Trop Hop. It's insane right now.
So that's pretty much it. Madison's like, well, if no one else is going to put him in his place, I have to. And actually, I get off on it.
And Austin's like, are we good? She's like, yeah, you love me? You good? And then they kiss and stuff. And then it cuts to Watch What Happens Live. And the before, you know how they show them, like, getting ready. It's usually, like, putting on makeup. Andy's in, like, some weird Christmas sweater thing and just, like, seeing if he has lint. Shep has come in with a full face of fillers and, like, a new hairdo. Like,
really?
He looks crazy. Yeah, his hair is, like, split down the middle. And his face is all, like, Botoxy and weird, which I guess he's probably still with that Taylor girl who's like, you were getting Botox, have fun.
Oh, no.
And they're showing him just sitting there waiting for the show to start, and he just looks like mad and like just grumpy, you know. And then of course they're like, welcome to Watch What Happens Live. He doesn't know a knife from a fart, and he's got a really strange face in the middle part. It's Craig and Shaft from Southern Of course he's like, course, hi Andy, course.
I didn't yell at a single homeless person today. I've changed.
And Craig, while Craig was getting his, while he was waiting for the camera to turn on, he's like looking at himself in the camera, and he's got like some new chest neck tattoo thing. And so his shirt is kind of unbuttoned, and he looks at it and tries to like flare it out so his tattoo will show more. And it's not, so he unbuttons another button. He's like,
Craig?
Yeah.
Shirts are an archaic device.
Yeah. So there you go. There's my exciting Watch What Happens Live update. But anyway, everybody, thank you so much for being with us today. Come to our live show next Thursday, November 12th. Go to onlocationlive.com/watchwhatcrappens or get tickets at watchwhatcrappens.com. There's a ticket link there.
We have links all over the place. Just go to like our Instagram, Twitter. It's all there.
Real Housewives of Salt Lake City and a special guest, okay. If you want this video, we also did Real Housewives of Orange County this week on Crappens On Demand, and we're doing Emily and Belly season 3 this week for our bonus. If you want
season 1
that.
Episode 3, that's what you meant.
Yeah, season 1 episode 3. And that's it, everybody. Have a great weekend over there, okay?
Have a great weekend. Bye, everyone.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela.
Itchels.
Let's run some errands with Emily Ahrens.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sip some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Just saying, okay. Higher than high res, she's Lauren Perez.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
You don't touch the Nicky Morgan letters.
One day you're Rachel Zinn, the next day you're out.
He makes us squee, Richie D.
The Bay Area Betches, Betches.
And our super premium sponsors,
Nancy Cease and Desisto.
Let's rev our pistons for Amanda and Kristen.
Better than Tabbouleh, it's Annie and Julie.
Let's give them a kissa, it's Austin and Marissa.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
We will, Joanna Rockland, you.
The incredible edible Matthew sisters.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
No one makes us feel well like Megan Cap Sewell.
Mina Coochie Coochie Coochie.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Couture. We love you guys.